This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.
Hey, so we have been talking in a series, this is our third week. We are talking a series called Money, Money, Money. And I know some of you, especially if you haven't been a part of this, you're like tuning us out already, or you're punching your neighbor and like, why did we come today to talk about money? And I think it's important to tell you a couple things, because some people are new. They're just walking into this series. Today is the last one, so we won't talk about it after today. So you're just stepping into this series. This is your first time here. Let me just give you a couple things that I've been saying every week so you know, and I have to say this. Number one, we aren't raising money. We're not taking an offering. This is not what this series is about. Your church is good. We're doing good. Your pastoral staff, we don't make exorbitant salaries. We're blessed. All of our spouses work to help make ends meet, so it's not about that. Our church is debt-free, right? We don't owe anybody anything. We don't owe the bank anything. This whole building is paid for, and so we're so thankful for that. So we don't owe anybody anything or anyone anything. I've been at your pastor for a year and 7 months, and this is only the second time in that year and 7 months I've ever talked about money. So it's not like a topic we talk about very often. But the whole thing about what we're talking about today, we aren't asking or taking money from you. This series is not about getting rich, but about being free. We want you to be free, to be who God wants you to be, to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. And there is a difference between being rich and being free. And the reason I know that is because there are a lot of millionaires who are miserable. And there's a lot of people, they're rich, but they're not free. And then there's a lot of people who make $40,000, $50,000 a year, and they are free. They're happy. They are blessed. And so now you can be rich and be free. I mean, God's not against you being rich. I'm not against you being rich. But just because you're rich doesn't mean you're free. The answer for what we've discovered is not that money is the answer to freedom. Money is not the answer to happiness. And so my hope is that we would pursue true wealth. What is true wealth? So we talked about, the first week we talked about stewardship. And stewardship is how you manage what does not belong to you. And the reality is this, everything you have belongs to God. Everything you have belongs to God. It's there. It's on loan to us by the Lord. He's given it to you. And one day you and I will have to give an account for all the things that we received from God. What did we do with those? And so how we manage what God stewarded us with matters. We have this beautiful facility, and you know what? We don't own it. This is God's. We just steward what it is that he's given to us. Last week, if you were here, we talked about how money makes a very bad master. And the Bible is very clear that money is a bad master. It is never satisfied. Money makes promises to us that it cannot keep. But then we also talked about the good side of money, that money is a tool so that we could reach the world and so that we could proclaim Christ. We also talked about tithing and how the tithe is not something that you offer, it's something that you owe. That you owe the tithe because God is your provider and he's provided it for you. And so today we know statistically is this. This is the reality for our country. America, 80% of Americans don't have an income problem. They have a spending problem. That's what the statistics tell us, that 80% of Americans, they don't have an income problem. They have a spending problem. But then there's 20% of Americans that actually don't make enough money. They actually have an income problem. And I want to help us see today, no matter what category you fall in, I want us to help us see today that God is truly our provider. That you have nothing to worry about, that God is the one who's going to provide for you. The Lord wants to bless you. He wants to bring increase into your life, and we truly believe that. And it's not this prosperity gospel that says, man, that we're saying, well, if you give exactly $777, and you turn to page 347 in your Bible, the Lord will automatically increase everything you have by 3% or three times or whatever. That's not what we're saying. That's not Bible. That's not real. That's mystical. But there are principles in your life to actually see God give blessings to you, to see God's hand on your finances, to see God bring increase into your faith and into your life. And so we see this story. I'm going to read to you out of the book of Matthew, this great book, and where Jesus is telling this story. He's telling this parable of the talents. And if you don't have it, we'll have the Bible on the screen here for you. But this is out of Matthew 25, verse 14. And it says this: "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to the another 2, to another 1, to each," get this, "according to his ability. Then he went away." So Jesus is telling this story. Now he's asking, how are you managing your talents? And maybe you've read this scripture before, and I'm going to bring some clarity to what a talent is, because it's probably not what you think it is, right? This word talent. The word talent is actually a measurement of money. Measurement in the biblical times was not always standardized, but rather it was more practical. So for example, they would say something like, if there was a bottle of water here, and they would say, well, that bottle of water is an arm's length away from me. Or if they were going to go on a journey and they were going to travel somewhere, they might say, well, that trip is a 2 days journey. And that's how they measured things. And we see the same remnants of that in our world even today. Like I could say, well, those stairs are 30 feet from me. And when we don't have the measuring tape, what do? 1 foot, 2 foot, 3 foot, right? And we use it that way to measure things. But then one day it all became standardized. Now it's not a foot, like you walk like this, like it became 12 inches. Why? Well, because some people have bigger feet than other people. So it wouldn't make up. Like I wear a size 10, right? So I'm not quite 12 inches, so it's not quite that accurate. And so when it came to money, money was measured differently. It was measured by weight. How much does it weigh? Like if you're familiar with Great Britain and the UK, they would call it the pound, because that's how much it weighed. Of course, it's actually different today. And a talent was the largest form of measurement available. It was 75 to 125 pounds. 1 talent weighed that much, because a talent was as much as a man could carry. How much you could carry was the talent. So some men can carry more than others, and that's why the range is 75 to 125 pounds. And listen, either of it had to be either silver or gold. You could only use a talent in the context of silver and gold. So let me put it in a practical sense for you just for a second. Because the value of gold today is $1,969.90 an ounce. For 1 ounce, there are 16 ounces in a pound. There are 75 pounds of gold in the lowest measurement of a talent, right? That meant that person who received 1 talent in today's money received $2,363,880. I don't know if you've ever read this story and felt bad for the person who got 1 talent. Don't feel bad for them ever again, all right? That's a lot of money. 2 million in today's economy, 75-pound talent. This is my point for us as a church today. Don't undervalue what God has given you. Don't undervalue what God's given you. It might be just 1 talent, but there's a lot of worth and value hidden in that 1 talent, in that 1 thing. You might feel like, well, I just have 1 skill. I just have 1 gifting. Or maybe you feel like I have no giftings whatsoever. But listen to me, if you invest into that 1 skill, if you invest into yourself, God can multiply your influence. God can multiply your resources. If you invest in your giftings, if your resources are placed in the right place, you will be astonished at how God can multiply it, how he can increase it. The way you manage, the way you steward, it could lead the way to God multiplying in your life. And God wants to multiply. He wants to multiply. So why multiply? Why invest? I mean, some of you might say, well, you know, Pastor, shouldn't I just be happy with what I have? I mean, shouldn't I just be content with what I've already been given? And I would say to you, absolutely. Absolutely, you should be content with what you have. In fact, I wrote it this way. I want nothing more than what God has planned for me, but I also want nothing less than all that God has planned for me. I want all that God has for me. I'm not trying to be more than God's called me to be, but I'm not trying to have more than what God has called me to have. But here's the reality. I'm convinced that the majority of people in life, right, it's not that you have as much as that God wants you to have. I think many of us go to our grave not fulfilling life's potential, not fulfilling all that God has for you. And I would say the same is for your income potential, that we never live it to the fullest. So I've got no problem settling for all that God has for me. And here's what I don't want for you. I don't want what God intended to be a starting line to be interpreted in your life as a finishing line. Like maybe you're just starting. Hey, that's not the end. Maybe you've been doing this for a while. It's not over. Where God has taken you, it will continue to go. What he has given you is not the end, right? Don't sit back and say, well, I'm here, Pastor. That's good enough, right? I mean, I'm here. I'm doing my thing. What if it's just the beginning? What if it's just the beginning? And beginning has no age limit with God. Not none whatsoever. What if God has more for your life than you're living right now? I believe he does. And I believe he wants to multiply. And I believe you can multiply. And if you want to multiply, you and I have got to learn to spend less time complaining, right? And less time comparing when we look at ourselves and say, well, I've only got one and they've got more and I've got less and I've got this bad hand dealt to me in life and I can't accomplish this. And we get to the woe is me type moment. And we read this parable where this guy hands out, this master hands out these talents to different people in different amounts. And we get these questions that pop up in our head and we look at it and we do the same thing with people. But maybe the first question you might have when you read this is, why did I only get one? Why did the other guy only get one? I mean, the other dude got five, he got two, like a little kid, right? Why only get one? Let me answer that. The reason you got one is because God is good. Because God is good. Because of his grace, right? Because you could have got none. You ever had your parents tell you that? Well, you could have got none, right? Praise the Lord, because I got more than I deserved. And that's the reality. Maybe the second question is, why did the other guy get five? Why did he get five? You know? Well, let me again remind you what we just read in verse 15. It says, to one guy, he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to each according to his ability. Ability is the key word. Lean into that word ability, because what determined that they got something was God's grace. But what determined what they got was the ability of each of them. In fact, the Greek word here in this scripture for ability is a word called dynamis. Dynamis. And dynamis, when it's used in the same sentence of God, it means supernatural power. But when dynamis is used in the same sentence as man, right, it means strength. And why is that important? Why is that significant? Because you have to remember a talent is the talent is defined by. What is a talent defined by? Weight, right? Defined by how much could you carry. So God gave 75 times 5 to the person who could carry 5 because he could carry it, because he could do it. So do you think God's going to bless you with what you can't carry? With what you can't sustain, with what you, because if he gave it to the person who could only hold so much, who only had the strength to carry one, that person would be buried by their blessing. And if you're strong enough to carry it, God will bless you. But if it will bury you, God's not going to crush you with what he is meant to bless you. By the way, this whole thing, this story preposes strength. In other words, God gave the talent, but the servants came with the strength. In other words, you come before the Lord, prayed up, served up, ready to serve, ready to be obedient. That's coming with strength. And I just want to say this, if you get anything out of this talk today, I would just say this. If you want to increase in your life, if you want to increase in your income, if you want to increase in your faith, can I encourage you to focus on increasing your strength? So let me ask you a question. What's your strength? If you're in the room today, what if your strength is communication? Can I encourage you? Build that. If you're in the room today and your strength is hospitality, build that. If your strength is building and fixing, then build that. If your strength is creativity, build that. Multiply it. What is your talent? And some of you are saying, well, you know, Pastor, that just sounds like work. It sounds like what you're saying to me, if I'm going to have increase in my life, then I have to work, you know? And can't you just give us a really good Bible verse and a special prayer to pray and then, you know, everything will increase in our lives? But that just isn't how the Bible teaches us. Look what Proverbs 13 says. Get this. Wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappears. Wealth from hard work grows over time. Man, that's a pretty direct Bible verse. Basically, it's saying, don't be lazy. Basically, what it's telling to us is, look, you know what? Wealth comes with hard work over time. True wealth that lasts comes from your willingness to use what God has given you. Are you willing to use whatever it is that God has deposited in your life? You don't get better quick. You get better over time. We use our gifts to grow ourselves, church. We use our gifts to grow the church. We use our gifts to grow the kingdom of God. And we should want to be the best at what we do. Our church should want to be the best. And that's not a prideful thing. That's not meant in an arrogant way, but because God is a God of excellence. He's a God of excellence. And being the best at what we do, being the best at our trade, being the best at our skills, we are blessing God and we are reflecting God in everything we do. Can I just say something to you? The limit of your income is not your occupation. The limit of your income is not your occupation, but your application. How do you apply the talents that God's given you? It's not your job, it's how you do your job. It's not your talents, it's how you use your talents. You know, I don't care if you are young or if you think you're too old, each and every one of us can get better. We can get better. And I think I have real quick couple steps I want to give us to bring increase in our life, to get better at serving God, to get better at being the church, to get better at everything that we do. So the first thing I'll tell you this, if you're taking notes, you can write this down, but the first thing we got to do, we got to focus. We got to learn to focus. Focus. Proverbs 4:25, let me read it to you. It says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways, right? Verse 27, do not turn to the right or to the left, but keep your foot from evil. I was a youth pastor, and I had this gentleman come. He was in his early 20s and fantastic guitar player. Like, he could play guitar really, really good. And he came to me one time and said, you know, Pastor, I feel like the Lord's calling me to be a worship leader. I want to be a worship pastor. And I'm like, man, that's awesome. Let's go. You're amazing. So he says, hey, Pastor, what do I need to do then? What do I need to do to answer this call? And I said, you know, well, let's just start by coming to practices and let's start by, you know, putting you on a team and start. We'll just spend some time with you. We'll mentor you. We'll get you to that place. And then he says, well, I can't do that right now. I'm like, oh. He goes, I got this job and, you know, I'm doing this and I'm working toward this and I got this going on in my life and I got to get this certificate. When I get this certificate, then I'll have time for this. And then I go. So it's probably about a year and a half process before I can do all those other things. I said, okay, cool. I thought to myself, you know, some people come to me. I've learned as a pastor that some people come to me and they want counsel, but they really don't want your advice. They just want your stamp of approval. And not everybody, but some people. And so I said, I played along. I'm like, cool, man, that's cool. You want to do that? And so I said this phrase that some people have heard, and if you ever hear it from me, just be prepared, buckle up. But I just said to him, I said, you know, can I speak into your life for a moment? He's like, yeah. I said, well, are you called to do that? Is that what you're called to do? I mean, that's a great profession, but is that your calling? Is that what God's asking you to do? Because I would encourage all of us with this. Don't waste time doing something you aren't called to do. Don't do it. On the opposite side of that, I had this guy that was a kid that volunteered at our youth ministry. He's in his early 20s. His name's Terry. Terry worked at the county jail. He was big and bald. And he was awesome. And he volunteered. He helped out. And one day I just said, Terry, man, I see God's call in your life. I'd love for you to just come alongside of me and just, you know, let's volunteer. Help me out when you can. You know, those types of things. And so the next day, this guy calls me and he says, hey, Pastor, I quit my job. I said, you did what? I quit my job. I feel like I'm called to ministry. I just want to intern with you for 2 years straight. I'm like, and he said, well, I talked to my wife to be. He was engaged. She was a nurse. She said she will support me. She will pay my bills while I intern with you. That's a good girl. And so anyway, so he quit everything, dropped everything, spent 2 years interning with me, spending time with me. Terry today is in Ohio. He's a lead pastor of a very healthy, good church, serving the Lord, honoring his call. I believe this, church. I don't know what your calling is. Every one of you have a calling. Doesn't mean, whatever it is, you have a call. But if you invest in your calling, believe me, one day your calling will invest back into you. If you invest in your calling, one day your calling will invest back to you. But if you chase four rabbits, you will catch none. You'll catch none. You got to pick something. Well, I like this. I like that. I like this. I like this. I pick one. I'm like, look, can you focus? Can you just focus and say, God, what do you want for me? God, what do you have specifically for me? And put your hand to something and allow God to lead you and bless you. You'll see it happen. Do something with everything that you've got. And if you're sitting here and you're like, hey, Pastor, what is that thing? I don't know what that thing is. Can I just encourage you, whatever the thing is in front of you right now, that's your calling. That is your calling. And so then we have to go from focus this morning to anonymity. I practiced that word all day yesterday so that I could say it right. Anonymity. We have to go from focus to anonymity. And you know what that is? Anonymity, this is where the crowd doesn't matter. This is where the crowd, only God matters in your life. Who are you when no one else is around? Who are you when no one else is looking? That is anonymity. You knew the King David, right? He got his big break, his shining moment, his painting on the church wall is when he killed the giant Goliath with a sling. That was his moment. He looked bravery in the eyes, and we celebrate him for that. But before this kid was knocking down giants, you know what he was doing? You know where he was at? He was in the midst of anonymity. No one around. Look what it says in 1 Samuel 17. But David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and took a sheep from the flock, I went out after it and attacked it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. Right? And when it rose against me, it says, I grabbed it by its whiskers and struck and killed it. Then it goes on and said, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them since he has defiled the armies of the living God. Did you hear his confidence coming out in that moment? There was confidence in that last verse. He goes, in the midst, right in front of 10,000 people, I'm going to do what I've been doing in anonymity. I'm going to do what I've been doing when no one else was around. I knew that this time would come. And hear me, church, your time will come. You might feel like you're in anonymity right now. No one sees you. You don't feel valued. But somewhere along the line, if you continue to prepare and you continue to say, hey, I'm going to be who God's called me to be, even when no one is looking, your time will come. Be prepared to work in anonymity. Think about it, 18 years we don't hear about Jesus. 18 years, right? We hear about him when he was 12 years old. He ends up at a church and he talks back to his mama. She says to him, hey, what are you doing here? And he said, woman, I'm about my father's business. And then we don't hear him for another 18 years. Something happened, right? So we don't hear about him for 18 years. What is going on in those 18 years? Jesus is in anonymity. He's preparing for what God was going to use him for. He was preparing for his mission. Moses spent 40 years in the desert leading sheep. Why? Because God knew that he was going to have to spend 40 years leading people in the desert, anonymity. I'm just saying, God wants to use all of you. He wants to use us, but be prepared to do things. Be prepared to sacrifice things. Be prepared to possibly go unnoticed for a season and for a time. Why? Hear me this morning. Because seeds don't grow above the ground. Seeds don't grow above the ground because if they did, the birds would come and they would eat it before it ever produced fruit. Anonymity is to protect you so that your character does not undergrow your platform, so that you don't produce fruit that your roots could not sustain. That's anonymity. I think the third thing, if we're going to increase, if we're going to multiply, we have to invest. Look what Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. So in other words, in simple terms, what he's saying is you get out whatever you put in. You get out whatever you put in. Galatians 6:8 goes on and says, whoever sows to please their flesh, from their flesh will reap destruction. But whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Here's what Paul's saying. Here's what the author of this book is saying. He's saying, we invest in things all the time. You invest in things all the time. Whether you know it or not, you being here today is an investment. You're investing in something, right? Every minute you spend, you're investing in something. Every dollar you put somewhere, you're investing in something. And Paul's just reminding us in this scripture, be aware of what you're investing in. Be conscious of what it is that you're investing your time, your energy, even your money in. He goes on, he says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, come on, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. We will reap a harvest if we do not give up. The investment will pay off, guys. Don't quit. Keep investing. Keep moving. Even if you're like, well, I don't see God's hand moving my life. I don't see God's hand doing things. But you know what? Don't stop investing. You will reap a harvest if you do not give up. You will. I remember our first house Kim and I bought back in like early 2000s. We paid a whopping $82,000 for our first house. Come on. How many would love to pay $82,000 for a house? Come on, right? $82,000 for a three-bedroom, two-bath, beautiful home, right? And we didn't have much to put together. We just had the two of us and a little girl, a little baby girl, and we moved in and we started doing updates. You know, we were like painting walls and putting a new mailbox out. That's what you do when you buy a new home. You put a new mailbox out, right? And all of a sudden, that makes it yours when you put new mailbox out. But fix the yard. We did all these types of things. And then finally, my wife's like, you know what? This house needs carpet wall to wall. I'm like, you're crazy. Carpet? She wanted to carpet the whole house. And she's an amazing decorator. And I'm like, oh. So we made the investment on carpet. It was expensive. Here's the deal. The Lord, we didn't even live there 2 years. The Lord called us to a new assignment. Not even living there 2 years. And we sold that house for over $100,000. Just the small little investments. I wrote down this way, every improvement to your life is an investment in your value. Every improvement to your life is an investment in your value. Anytime you work on you getting better, your value goes up, especially in the eyes of the Lord. Every time you work better at getting better, your value goes up. Your value goes up as a person, as an employee, as a family person, as a spouse or a friend. But more importantly, your value goes up as a follower of Christ. He uses you more. Invest your time. Invest your resources. Invest in your personal growth and watch how God will multiply in your life. The fourth one, real quick, I'd say a principle for us to increase is this. We got to learn to be teachable. We got to learn to be teachable, right? If you want increase in your life, you have to learn to be teachable. We'll prove it, Pastor Heath. Okay, Proverbs 13. Look what it says. Poverty and disgrace come to him who ignores instruction. But whoever heeds correction is honored. I went into college my freshman year, and I needed a job, and I got a job. There was a professor at our school who knew me because his son was a wrestler, and so he kind of knew me from the circuits, and he said, hey, there's a local high school that is looking for an assistant wrestling coach in Winter Haven High School, and so they're like, you know, you'd be great for that job, and I'm like, yeah, I could do that. That'd be great, earn a little bit of money, and so I decided to coach high school wrestling, and here I'm around these high school kids who I'm 18, 19 years old. They're not that much younger than me, and so here I'm trying to be big and bad. I'm a coach, I'm good, and you're little peons, you know. And so this high school had a way of conditioning where they went outside to the high school track and they would run around the track. We never did that as a high school growing up, but this high school did, and so we'd go outside and run around the track, and so I'd run with them. And the next thing, after just a few times of doing this, I ended up with these things called shin splints. And if you've ever had shin splints, right here, and they hurt really, really bad. And so one day, this high school kid walked up and said, Coach, you shouldn't be running the track in your wrestling shoes. You shouldn't have your wrestling shoes on when you're running the track. And I'm like, who asked you? That's my first question. The second thing is, I'm the coach, you're the kid. Why are you telling me what to do? Then I thought, well, why, when you should be working out and running on yourself, you took the time to watch me? Watch yourself, worry about you. And then last thing I said, it wasn't that he said, hey, coach, I'm so appreciative that you're running with us. You don't have to do that, but you're out there running with us. He didn't say that. All he said was that you shouldn't be wearing those shoes. I was a little offended. Like, how could you teach me? I should be teaching you. But can I say this to you this morning? It hurt to receive the feedback, but it would have hurt even more if I didn't listen. Sometimes in your life, it hurts to receive the feedback, but it would hurt even more if we don't listen, if you refuse to listen. We need to learn. Can I give you a couple of facts this morning? Fact number one, we aren't always right. Just a fact. I know you want to argue with me, but it's true. Fact, we can be wrong. Believe it or not. Here's another fact. I know you're independent, but sometimes input can be beneficial. Sometimes. Let me give you another fact. You're never done learning. You're never done learning. You can be better. We can be better. Let's be teachable. Fifth principle I'll give you real quick is this. Hard work. Hard work. Going back to this Matthew scripture real quick, Matthew 25 verse 24, he's talking about the guy with the talent. He said, he also who received the one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be hard man, reaping where you do not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid the talent in the ground. You have what is yours. He did absolutely nothing with it. And the Bible says, he said, I was afraid. The guy said, I didn't do anything, Master, because I was afraid. And I've heard a lot of preachers preach this, and they say, hey, this verse is telling you, don't be afraid to use your talents. Don't be afraid to use your talents. And I don't disagree with that, and I get that. But I don't think that's the point of this verse. I don't think the point of this verse is saying, don't be afraid. I think the point of this verse is, don't make excuses. Stop making excuses for where you are in life. Because look what it says in verse 26. But the master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. Or we could say lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. He gets right to the core of the issue. He says, oh, you think you're afraid? Is that what you're saying? And I think the servant forgot that God knows our heart. He knows our heart. He knows who we are. He goes, it wasn't fear. You weren't afraid. You were lazy. You were slothful. You didn't want to put the work that it takes to be in it. And look what it says in verse 27. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. You ever known people, or maybe you know kids, or maybe it's your own self, where they want to try different things, but as soon as they get hard, they quit? Like as soon as it's like, this is demanding too much work and too much effort. I don't want to do this anymore. I mean, I'll be honest. I had that part of me at some times where, I want to try something. And then I would get into it and I'm like, that's too much work. I don't want to be a part of that. And I remember when my dad was great. You know, he was always okay with us trying things and doing things. But he would say to us, one day, you're going to have to find your thing. And when you find your thing, it's going to get hard the moment you decide to get good. The moment you try to get good at it, it's going to get hard. And anytime you decide to get good at something, it's going to get hard, folks. And our money is no different, right? When you decide to be good with it, when you decide to invest it the right way, when you decide that it's no longer your master, it's going to get hard. It's going to get difficult. It takes hard work. I'm just challenging us. Whatever you decide to do, let's be the best at it. Let's work hard. It doesn't matter what you decide to do. That doesn't matter to me. But be the best at whatever it is that you decide to do, because hard work is how you multiply. It's how you increase. Hard work at our church, at CLC, will make us multiply. It will increase our territory. And let me prove it to you. Colossians 3:23 says this, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not human interest, not human masters. Work unto the Lord. What you do is working unto him. Listen, flip burgers, I don't care. Fix toilets, it doesn't matter. Raise a family, serve your church. Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, with all of your might. Because he's the one, this is what the scripture tells, he's the one we're ultimately working for. It's God. He sees your efforts. He sees your hard work, and he is the one that will promote you. He is the one that will provide for you. He is the one that will bless you from the work that you have put in. Let me give you my last one this morning. It's important. This last one's important. If we're going to bring increase and we're going to bring multiply, then we have to understand what it means to be fulfilled. We have to understand what it means to be fulfilled, right? You want to see increase? You want to find ways to increase and multiply in your life? Then understand what it feels like and what it means to be fulfilled. There was a shift that took place in the workforce and the workplace after COVID. Before COVID, most people would took jobs based on income. In other words, what could this job provide me? But after COVID, right, income fell to number three to why people pick jobs. The number one reason that people pick jobs after COVID was this: work-life balance. They don't care about being rich, they care about being free. The second most important reason that people pick jobs post-COVID was they want work that is meaningful. They wanted work that was meaningful. Can I just say to you this morning as we close, work is not the curse. Like, I don't know, how many of you have ever been like, man, Adam and Eve, they ruined it for all of us. If they just wouldn't have ate that stupid tree, we could be sitting on the beach drinking pineapple juice. You know what I mean? Like, if it wasn't for Adam and Eve, they messed the whole thing up. They placed this curse upon our lives, and now all we have to do is work, work, work. Can I just tell you this morning, it's not accurate? Read Genesis again. There was work before the fall. And to give you some kind of, I think work was part of God's perfect plan. And to give you some kind of break it to you, there's going to be work in heaven. And some of you are like, oh man, they didn't tell me that. There's going to be work in heaven. Because the curse is not work. Read the curse again in Genesis, right? I'll give you the highlights real quick. It says, you will work the ground and thorns will come up. You will work the ground and you will sweat. You will work the ground and it will be painful. The curse is not that you will work. The curse is that you will not enjoy your work. Some of you can relate. We work for paychecks, not for purpose. But I do believe that you and I can find fulfillment in anything. As followers of Christ, we can find fulfillment in anything. We can find fulfillment in faith. We can find fulfillment in life. And we can even find fulfillment in work. If you go back to the scripture we've been reading, it talks about the guy in verse 19 that had the five talents. And the person came back to the master, the one who had five talents. And he comes back to him. And it says this, now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five talents more, saying, "Master, you delivered to me five talents. Here, I have made five talents more." He gave it all back. So he gives the increase to the master. The more that he made, he gave it back to the master. Here's the revelation. Here's the point for us today. He knew before he started working that he wasn't going to keep the money. Be one thing to say, "I worked, I earned this five, I'll keep that for me and then give this five back to you." He knew from the beginning that he was not going to keep the money. He gave the five back plus five. So that means money was not the motivation for the work. If you want to find fulfillment, you have to remove money as the motivator. He didn't care about the money. So you have to ask yourself, well, if he didn't care about the money, Pastor, then why is he working? Like, what was he after, right? He knew that there was a true reward to follow. There was something greater than just the work. Look what he found himself at. Verse 21. This is what his master said to him. "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Well done, my good and faithful servant. The reward wasn't the money. The reward was the well done by the master. The reward was well done by the master. The reward was eternity. It was about you and me finding our purpose, right? And taking everything that we do, and making it a ministry. If you're a mom, make it a ministry. You're a dad, make it a ministry. If you work somewhere, make it a ministry. You're retired, make it a ministry. You're a student, make it a ministry. Everything that you do is a ministry. Whatever you do, it's a ministry. Because we understand who we are working for. We understand who we are working for, and we also understand what we are working for: eternity. And there's a difference between your daily routine and your calling. This just happens to be my job. I love my job. This happens to be my job and my calling at the same time. But listen, if you take this microphone away from me, the microphone doesn't make me a preacher. The calling makes me a preacher. No matter where you put me, my calling doesn't change. My calling is the same. Your routine is your calling. Whether it's a job, whether it's retirement, again, whether you're a stay-at-home or you go to school, you have a calling. Your ministry is where you are. Where has God planted you? You have a ministry. A ministry to love people right where you are. A ministry to change the world right where you are. When we see our lives, guys, with an eternal mindset, it changes how you do everything. It changes how you use your money, how you treat people, how you treat one another. It changes when we put on an eternal mindset. So I must encourage you, see whatever you do as a ministry, that you have a holy calling. So how do we increase? How do we manage your talents? How do you find purpose in what you do? Well, the screen tells us. Focus, anonymity, invest, being teachable, hard work, fulfilled. And just in case you're not good at Wheel of Fortune, it spells something. It spells, how do we do it? We just be faithful. How do you bring increase? How do you multiply? How do you see God do all these things in your life? Well, you know what? It just comes down to being faithful. Because when he came back to the master, what did the master say to him? "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And when you go after God, and when when you go after what he blesses you with, when you go after these things with all your heart, with all your might, and with all your strength, you are a faithful servant. You are that faithful servant that Jesus spoke about. When we go after it all, we say, God, this doesn't belong to me. Everything I have comes from God. It belongs to you. Help me to invest it. Help me to spend it. Help me to be teachable. Help me to the hard work. Help me to focus. Help me with all these things because my mindset is different. Now, I'm not looking for a personal gain. I'm not looking for personal this. I'm looking for those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. You and I aren't working for today, guys. We're working for eternity. We aren't giving for today. We're giving for eternity. You're not focusing for today. You're focusing for eternity. You're not working hard today for today, but you're working hard for eternity. And so this morning, I want to close with this. I want to pray for you in the room today who maybe you're at a place where you just don't feel fulfilled right now. Like maybe you just need some purpose in your life. Like God's been calling you. You've worked hard. Maybe it's a beginning part or you've spent your whole life trying to be faithful to what God has blessed you with. But you want to go to another level in faithfulness. Like maybe it is truly your desire to be considered that faithful servant. Or the best phrase I can say, maybe it's your, hopefully it's your desire to be blessed by the best. To be blessed by the best. Because there's a lot of things that'll bless you, but there's really only one good thing that will fulfill you. And that is the master saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. And so, Lord, I just pray your hand upon us right now as we just begin to just take a moment and reflect. I pray that you would just begin to speak to our hearts in this place. That God, how we invest, how we multiply, it matters to you. How we manage everything that you've given us, it matters to you. How we work, how we play, how we spend matters to you. The things that we say, the things that we think, the things that we do, it matters to you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us today in this room to desire to find purpose, to desire to answer the call that's on each and every one of our lives. And to see our lives as a ministry to you. That everything that we do points to you, O God. And that ultimately our desire, Lord, is to know that the servant looks at us, or the master looks at us and says, well done, my good and faithful servants. Lord, make us faithful in this place today. Us desire to be faithful. We love you. So we're going to sing in just a moment. Can I encourage you to take a moment right when you're sitting or standing? And maybe make that your prayer right where you are. God, I want to be faithful. Help me to be faithful. Not just with the big things, but God, help me to be faithful with the small things. And maybe as we just worship the Lord, you can take a moment right where you are and make that your prayer. God, teach me how to be faithful. Teach me how to be faithful with all that you've given me. Lord, I want to see increase in my life. I want to multiply. And ultimately, I want to bring glory to your name. Help me.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.